This is a nice discussion about lust, anger, and humility. We see some discussion about this in the third canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 31. In verses 29, 30, 31. Chapter, third canto, chapter 31, verses 29 or 33. A living entity absorbed in false ego attempts to increase the prestige of his temporary identity. While his successes bring him pleasure, they also increase his lust and greed. His inevitable failures cause him to taste the bitterness of his insignificance. This makes him angry. Lust, anger, and greed, which contracts his consciousness even more than lust contracts it. Humility is a much different experience than the feeling of material insignificance. Although both require that one dwell on his own rottenness. A humble person considers himself an insignificant servant of Krishna, and he understands how much he must rely on Krishna's mercy. He attempts to serve and please Krishna with devotion, knowing that any identity other than devotional servanthood is incomplete. Material feelings of insignificance, however, are self-indulgent and paralyzing. They lead not to devotion, but to further self-absorption. Prabhupada gives practical advice in verse 29, how we can avoid the suffering caused by misidentifying the self. The living entity is eternal part and parcel of Krishna. And lust causes living entity to glide down from his exalted position to material existence. Lust changes into anger. Lust and anger are products of passion. Lust is the product of passion and the absence of satisfaction of lust or frustration of our lust in non-unfulfillment or non-fulfillment. That desire transforms into anger on the platform of ignorance. Ignorance covers the soul and degrades to abominable condition. We must transform lust into love of Krishna. Due to lust, we want many things for our sense gratification. But if we can transform that same lust in a purified way, then we will want everything for the satisfaction of Krishna. Anger can be utilized toward an atheist or an envious person. Lust and anger can be used for advancing in Krishna consciousness. Lust to hear Hari Katha, lust to engage everything in Krishna's pleasure. Lust, anger, and greed. How to check anger? By constantly hearing about devotional service, one can check the force of anger. Prakshit recommends the constant hearing of Krishna's pastimes. This is the panacea for all material diseases. By constantly hearing about Krishna, we can always remain in equilibrium and progress in spiritual life. This is, of course, in fourth canto, the story of Dhruva Maharaj. He was a liberated soul. But his brother Dhruva's brother Uttam was faultlessly, wrongly killed by one of the yakshas. Dhruva was the king, so he retaliated and punished the yakshas. But in one sense, he was went a little bit overboard and killed so many of them, and finally cooled down. Also, Dhruva's becoming angry with the miscreant yakshas who killed his innocent brother was quite appropriate. Prabhupada tells a short story in this connection. Once there was a snake who became a devotee by the mercy of Narada. And Narada told him not to bite anyone anymore. Ordinarily, cobras bite people and they die. But now he was a devotee and was forbidden. But unfortunately, people took advantage of this non-violence, and the children used to throw stones at the snake. The snake didn't bite anyone because he was following the instruction of his guru, Narada. Later, after some time, he met his guru and asked Narada, "I don't bite anybody anymore, but they're mistreating me and throwing stones at me." Narada said, "Don't bite, but do not forget to expand your hood as if you are going to bite. Then they will go away." So he could threaten or frighten the children who were throwing stones at him by expanding his hood but not biting them. Similarly, a devotee is always nonviolent. He has all good characteristics. But in this material world, if there's mischief made by others, the devotee should not forget to become angry, at least for the time being, in order to drive away the miscreants or the non-devotees. It is natural for a soul to seek shelter, because regardless of one's external circumstances, the reality is, the actual fact is, that each one of us, every soul, is very tiny and insignificant. Turning to Krishna, depending on Krishna, taking shelter of Krishna, surrendering to Krishna, requires humility. First, we must acknowledge, understand, and realize the greatness of Krishna, the greatness of God, and compare it to our own minuteness and insignificance. God is infinite. And a living entity is infinite simal, as Prabhupada would say. God is, Krishna is infinite, and a living entity is infinitesimal. When we die at the time of death, then all of us will certainly face our minuteness, our dependence, and our helplessness, crying out to God, "O Krishna, please help me remember you. O Krishna, please forgive me. O Krishna, please accept me. O Krishna, please take me to the spiritual world and engage me in your eternal service." Then, at that final, last moment, everyone becomes dependent, helpless. But why wait till then? Why wait till the last, final moment? Why wait till death to accept our minuteness and to accept our helplessness? This is a constant truth. We should always remember this. Always remember that I could die at any moment. And always remember the holy name of the Lord. And don't become proud and don't become puffed up. Always depend on Krishna. Always call out to Krishna and feel helpless at every moment without the constant remembrance of Krishna, without the constant guidance of Krishna, without the constant mercy of Krishna, without the constant shelter of Krishna. Rake Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rake Ke. Prabhupada would often quote this phrase, Rake Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rake Ke. If Lord Krishna protects a person, who can kill him? And if Krishna desires to kill someone, who can protect him. No one can protect the person who Krishna is prepared to kill. And no one can kill the person whom Krishna protects. We're all actually being protected at every moment by Krishna. So we should always surrender unto him. Well, what is surrender? Prabhupada says that surrender means placing oneself under the mercy and protection of the Lord at every moment. In 4th Canto Bhagavatam, chapter 17, verse 29, Prabhupada quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, Manasa Deha Yoki Chimor. Oh, my dear Krishna, whatever I have, my mind, the center of all my material necessities, my home, my body, whatever I have in connection with this body, I now surrender all of it unto you. Now you are completely independent. You can do whatever you like. If you like, you can kill me. If you like, you can save me. In any case, and in every situation, I am your eternal servant. And you have, therefore, every right to do whatever you like. Surrendered devotees consider themselves at every moment to be Krishna's servants. And at every moment, they only act for Krishna's pleasure. Rupa Goswami explains that devotees who are always engaged in Krishna's service are always liberated, regardless of his material situation. This is in the Sadhana Bhakti chapter, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 187. Hiha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikalash vap yavasta su jivan mukta sayuchate. One who engages in the transcendental service of the Lord, Haridas, in body, mind, and word, is considered to be liberated in all conditions of material existence. Haridas, Hari Krishna, the Lord, by the actions of the body, by the mind, and by the words, and all these, api avastasu, in all conditions, jivan mukta. He's a jivan mukta, liberated even while remaining in this material body. Devotees accept that they are completely dependent on Krishna, acknowledging that dependence as their constitutional position. Devotees surrender fully to Krishna in loving service. What do devotees expect from Krishna in return? Bhaktivinoda explains, Krishna, you are completely independent and can act however you like. Such complete and exalted trust and surrender is bhakti, and it is the price we must pay if we wish to return to the spiritual world. We will not be inspired with such pure consciousness if we possess even a tinge of selfishness, even if that selfishness is disguised as a desire to go back to Godhead, or as the theoretical knowledge that leads to liberation. We do need to know Krishna, because without understanding his personality and characteristics, our faith will not mature enough to support complete surrender. Beyond knowledge, only mature love for Krishna can elicit the exalted symptoms of unalloyed surrender. Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai.